Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and we're working through our series on the book of Luke. And today we're going to look at two mighty miracles by our Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle of the centurion's slave and the miracle of the son of the widow of Nain. And we'll find them in Luke chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. But before we get into looking at these mighty miracles, let's pray. Father in heaven, glorify your son and servant Jesus Christ as we go through this broadcast. Help us to see what the disciples saw. Help us to believe what the disciples believed. Help us to understand what Luke meant when he wrote down these miracles for us to meditate upon. Help us to understand the very power of God that is released in our lives through the cross. Help us to know the authority, the lordship, the power, and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're coming to God's Word. Grab your pens and Bibles and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who are going to teach others. And you look at Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 17. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you. But say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and the surrounding country. So here Jesus does these mighty miracles. Now, both of these miracles have something in common. There were miracles that happened through the word of Jesus, the word of authority of Jesus Christ. He is referred to as Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is someone who the centurion recognized as having authority, not just ordinary authority, but authority over disease, authority over death, authority over the spiritual realms. The insight of the centurion, the faith of the centurion, was that Jesus had real authority to change life. When Jesus spoke, it would happen. because Jesus was a commander. Jesus was someone with authority. Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he knew that every word that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ had impact. It would turn situations around, that his servant would live just if Jesus spoke a word. He didn't need any mumbo jumbo. He didn't need someone running around with incense. He didn't need someone prancing. He didn't need loud music. He didn't need words of incantation. All he had to do was get Jesus to say, "Servant, be healed," or something like that, and the servant would be made well. And the servant was made well. But Jesus has power in his words. And as Christians, we must believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that Jesus was a good man. Not just that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Not just that Jesus is our Redeemer. But that Jesus has power. When he speaks, creation comes into existence. When he says, "Let there be light," there is light. All things were made by him and for him, and through him all things consist. Jesus is the Lord of creation. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He will return to judge the living and the dead. He will speak and the dead will be raised when the archangel blows his trumpet. Jesus has authority over the spiritual realms, and he's going to clean them out. He's going to get rid of the devil. With one word, he shall slay the Antichrist. With one word, he will put down all the rebellions of all the demons and all the nations on earth, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Because Jesus is a Lord, he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, and he can change your life, and he can change my life. Just as he did with the widow of Nain's son, all he did was speak. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And this young man got up and walked and lived and spoke to his mother. This astonished everybody. Everyone saw this and said, "This is a great and mighty miracle. A prophet has visited us. Something has happened. This is unusual." Now, this is something beyond human imagination. Who has ever spoken to a dead man before Christ and said, "Arise," and they have arisen? It was simple. It was straightforward. There was no magic required, no shaking, no trembling, no screaming. He just simply said, stop the procession. He touches the bier. He said, "Woman, do not weep." Speaks to the young man, "Arise." And it's done. It's done with a word. And that's how it is in the spiritual realms. The spiritual realms are done with a word. You speak to the mountain, and the mountain moves. You speak to the mulberry tree and it is uprooted and cast into the sea. The word of authority, the word of faith, will move mountains when it is combined with the will of God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus had compassion on the widow, and so he raised her son from the dead. Jesus' words have power, and they're recorded for us in the New Testament. We're to obey them ourselves. They have authority over us. We're to obey his commandments, and they have authority over the winds and the waves, with peace be still. They have authority over death. They have authority over sickness. They have authority over demons, and we know that Jesus cast out demons with a word. His words are powerful. His words have authority in your life and in my life. They can change your situation and my situation in an instant. Now let's look at the words of Jesus and the commands of Jesus and how they operate. Let's look at what he said to the young man. "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now, Jesus didn't rebuke a spirit of death or anything like that. He wasn't worried about the problem at all. He knew what the problem was, and he knew how to deal with it by speaking the end results into existence. So Jesus speaks the end results into existence, and his word does that. So Jesus looks at what should be and says that should happen. So when the storm came up on the sea, he didn't rebuke the storm and say, "Storm, stop being naughty." He says, "Peace, be still." You see, he spoke the end state. He spoke what he desired into existence, and it happened. Whether the person who was deaf, he didn't rebuke a spirit of deafness. No, he simply said, "Ears be opened," because that's what he wanted. He wanted the ears to be opened. With lame people, he would say, "Stand up." with a man with a withered hand, he'd do the same thing. He'd say, straighten out your arm. Jesus only spoke about the result. Jesus only spoke about the result, and he never speaks about the problem. When Lazarus was dead, he didn't come in and give a big questionnaire about why Lazarus died. He only spoke about the result, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth, because that's the result he wants. He wants Lazarus walking out of that grave and taking off his grave clothes. So when you want to speak spiritually about a problem in your life, you speak about the result. Just as Jesus would say, eyes be opened, or to the leper, be cleansed. What's the end result that the leper wants? He wants to be clean. So Jesus speaks about the end result and says, be cleansed. He doesn't say anything about the leprosy. He doesn't talk about the problem. Jesus only talks about the solution. And that's the secret to praying powerfully. So let's just say you've got a problem in a relationship, and someone's going around binding the spirits of bitterness and this and that. Okay, what about a better solution? What about one that's in the line of Jesus? You say, in the name of Jesus, be reconciled. In the name of Jesus, have peace. In the name of Jesus, let all goodness and truth and peace come into this relationship. Speak about the end result. Have a picture in your mind of what God wants in that situation. And you might say, in Jesus' name, I command us and in our marriage to come back together. I command unity, I command peace, I command reconciliation, I command forgiveness, and do that instead, because that's what God's seeing. Now, why is this the way to do it? And you have to understand something about how the spiritual realm works. The spiritual realm works in metaphors, symbols, and pictures. So when you're speaking out your prayer, you have to have a spirit picture in your mind and in your heart of what you are speaking. If your spirit picture is one of anxiety, fear, and dread, if that's the picture, all you've got in your heart is anxiety, fear, and dread, that's what the spiritual world picks up, because it talks in the language of pictures. But if the picture in your heart and in your spirit is one of being reconciled, or one of God providing, or one of being made well, if you can see that in your heart and your mind, if you can believe that, if you can, it is crystal clear that that's going to happen, and Jesus talks about that, believe that you have received, create the inner picture of what you want to receive, and you speak that in the name of Jesus, and that's what happens. If you speak fear, you'll get fear. If you speak peace, you'll get peace. So as you are praying, the first part of your prayer often has to be to get yourself into the right state of mind. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help me to see what you want in this situation. Lord, help me to see the positive picture that you have in this situation. Now, suppose that you want a drum kit for your church. And so you believe that you're going to receive a drum kit for your church, and the worship team is going to be well equipped, or you need a roof on your church or something like that. You say, we believe and we claim that we're getting a drum kit for a church or a roof for our church. We see that roof. And in Jesus' name, we declare that it is provided. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. God is our Jehovah Jireh. We shall have a roof for our church. We shall have a drum kit. Our church will be provided for. We believe this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I remember the first time that this happened for me in my life. I was a new Bible college student, and I needed three things before I went off to Bible college. I needed a pair of brown shoes. I needed a Young's Concordance. And I needed a copy of the New Bible Dictionary so it could help me understand the Bible. And I prayed with a friend. I said, I'm going to believe that by this afternoon I'll have a pair of brown shoes, a Young's Concordance, and a New Bible Dictionary. And by the end of that afternoon, I had all three from the Lord. And that's the first time I remember a prayer like that being answered. God provided for all my needs. Many years later, I'd come back from the mission field, and I was in terrible shape financially, and my clothes were old and raggedy, and I was ashamed to walk around in the streets of Australia in my old missionary clothes, looking so beaten up, looking like I was at the bottom of the scale financially, and feeling deeply ashamed. And then I went to Matthew 6, and it says, consider the lilies of the field, how God clothes even them. Not even Solomon in all his glory were like those. So I said, Lord, look at this. You're going to clothe me like the lilies of the field. Do that, Lord, because I feel so ashamed. I feel so beaten up. Well, a friend of mine went to Hong Kong. This person knew someone in Hong Kong who owned a fashion shop. And they have these clothes called second. They're a little tiny little bit defective, a thread here, a thread there. But they're all these fashion clothes from the ones that have the alligator, the Lacoste, and this and that. And this friend came back with two suitcases full of beautiful silk clothes from Hong Kong, the latest in fashions. And I was the most fashionably dressed person around with these wonderful, wonderful clothes from Hong Kong. And so God provided in a spectacular way, because I believed and I received his word. I stood on his word. I believed on his word. I created a picture in my mind. And God, in his justice and in his infinite sense of humor, took me from the worst dressed person in the church to the best dressed person in the church. And that's what God does. And you have to have a positive spiritual picture of what the authority of Jesus is going to do in your life. And when Jesus speaks into your life, he's going to turn that situation around. He's going to turn the situation around just like he did for the woman of Nain. She was not expecting at all that Jesus would turn up and raise her son from the dead. No one was expecting that. They were astonished. But Jesus turned up and did the unexpected, because he knew in the compassion of his heart what the widow of Nain needed and what the widow of Nain kind of deserved in the spiritual realm, because without a son, her life would have been hopeless. And so when he resurrected the son, he also resurrected the widow's hope of a decent life. She would have been devastated. She'd lost her husband, and now she was going to lose her only son, and her world would have been devastated. So the son was resurrected, and her hope was resurrected, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus operates in resurrection power. To take your life from the guttermost to the uttermost, he will turn your life around because of his infinite power. And you just need to have the faith. You just need to be there as Jesus turns up and turns things around for you. Now let's go back to the first illustration, the one of the centurion. And Jesus says, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. So what is Jesus commending here? Jesus is commending the faith of the centurion, who believed that Jesus didn't even have to come into his house. All he had to do was speak the word. So what does great faith look like? Great faith is faith in the power of Jesus Christ, faith in the power of God, faith that Jesus will turn up, faith in the goodness of Jesus and the power of Jesus and in the word of Jesus. The centurion recognized Jesus as a different kind of spiritual being. He was not just a mere human. He wasn't just a mere prophet. He just wasn't a mere rabbi. No rabbi could do that. He knew that Jesus was greater than any rabbi, any teacher in the land of Israel. He knew that Jesus was a person with power, that his words carried weight. And when the soldiers went into the temple at one point to try and arrest Jesus, they came back and said, we can't arrest him. Never have we heard someone who has so much authority. Jesus spoke with authority. The centurion knew Jesus spoke with authority, and he knew that Jesus had authority. And he recognizes, he says, I am not worthy. He comes from a place of humility. He is not worthy that Jesus come into his house. He didn't give a command. He didn't give an order. He was big. He was famous. He was rich. He had troops under him. The elders of the Jews did what he commanded. He had huge social status, and yet he bowed down before Jesus and says, I am unworthy for you to come into my house. So the first step in having great faith is having great humility, bowing down and saying, I'm not worthy, O Lord. I'm not worthy for you to do miracles for me. I'm not worthy, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. So he comes in humility. He recognizes Jesus as a great authority, and in fact, a greater authority than him. The centurion saw Jesus as above him in the structure of society, even though the centurion had enormous power in Capernaum. He was a man who could take life and death just with a simple word or an instruction to a soldier. The centurion could go. But when the centurion saw Jesus, when the centurion knew Jesus, he says, Jesus He's the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord of Lords. His words matter. And when he speaks, the spiritual realm will bow down to him. And it will in the last days. It will. Jesus will slay the Antichrist with a word. With a word, he will cast the devil into hell and all his angels into hell. With a word, he will raise the dead. And with a word, he will judge the living and the dead. It is by the words of Jesus that the world was created. And it's by the word of Jesus that the devil will be crushed. It's by the word of Jesus that the dead will be raised. It's by the word of Jesus that things happen in heaven and on earth. Because at the name of Jesus, everything must bow in heaven, on earth, and the under the earth. You see, the word of Jesus is that powerful. He is the one that sorts out the spiritual realms. He's the one that divides between the sheep and the goats. He's the one that will cast people into the pit of hell who have rebelled against him, because Jesus has power. You must realize that Jesus is not just a good man. He is God. Jesus is not just a healer and a prophet. Jesus is God. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords, and he demonstrates that authority, even authority over death, in these parables. He says clearly here that he has authority over sickness, authority over death, authority to change things, and that when Jesus speaks, the world must obey. When Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves, they obeyed. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree and says, be withered, it was withered. The word of Jesus carries power. And you want the word of Jesus to come into your life and to work on your behalf. And so you must tie your faith together with the words of Jesus Christ and with the scriptures to see results in your life. If you're separated from the will of God, if you're just trying to manifest things for your own greed, nothing will happen. But if you're crying out to God, believing that Jesus is going to enter into your circumstances, that he's going to enter into your life, if you have something valid that God wants done for the kingdom, then you need to believe that Jesus can make that happen. Come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I am unworthy. I am unworthy to let you even into my life. But I want you to come into my life. I want you to change this desperate circumstance that I am in. And believe that Jesus is someone who turns up. He is not an abstraction. He is not something in a theology book. He's not something between the covers of a history book. Jesus is alive and well. He is the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ who stands among us. When two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus in the midst. So when you're praying for something big, get two or three or more people together. Pray and ask for the presence of Jesus to turn up in your midst, and then gather the picture of what you want done. That you want such and such a person saved. That you want such and such a person delivered. And say, in the Jesus' name, this person is set free. In Jesus' name, this person is healed. In Jesus' name, this situation is changed. And I remember in a situation where there was a ministers' group of ministers, we'd run a crusade in a particular city, and we were short of funds. We were about $900 short, and we didn't know how we were going to come up with that $900. So we got together, and we used the words, not by might, not by power, but by spirit, says the Lord, and we speaks with grace, grace to the mountain, and the mountain shall be removed. It's from Zechariah chapter 4. And so one of the pastors says, speak grace, grace to the mountain. So we held our hands, and we say, grace, grace to the mountain of debt be cast down. Grace, grace to the mountain of debt be cast down. And it was cast out of the way, and that money came in, and we were able to pay off the crusade. A similar thing happened to me a few years ago, about 3 years ago now, a little over. My wife and I had a huge mountain of debt. It was mind-crushing. It was burying us, our mortgage, our credit cards, everything else. So I took this before the Lord, and I said, grace, grace to the mountain of debt. I used that illustration from and this was a lot more money than $900. I won't say how much, but it was a lot. Every month I felt terrible. I felt sick to the pit of my stomach. As it got to the 20th or the 21st of the month, we would run out of money. Our credit cards would explode. It was mind-numbingly bad financial situation. So we started making decisions and doing this and doing that, and God helped us. And this week we paid off the last of those debts. We paid off the last of those credit cards. The mountain has been moved. We paid off our mortgage. We paid off the credit cards. We paid off all the debts that were accumulating against us, and the mountain of debt was moved because I spoke to that mountain. I walked around our lounge room saying, mountain of debt, be moved in Jesus' name. Mountain of debt, be moved in Jesus' name. Mountain of debt, be moved in Jesus' name. Well, that was my phone in the midst of trying to record this program. But our debt was moved because I used that prayer. I spoke to the mountain and I said, mountain of debt, be moved in Jesus' name. Amen. And it happened through the authority that Jesus gives us in the spirit realm. I envisioned that mountain of debt being moved. I walked around the lounge room many, many times and it was moved. It was dealt with. God has dealt with our debts through his miraculous working power. We're in a situation that could not be solved humanly. And God did it. And God can do the same for you as he has done for me. Jesus has authority. His name has power. Speak to your situations in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping the positive end result in mind, believing that it can and will happen if it is in the will of God. Be good to yourself. Believe in Jesus. Have great faith, just like the centurion did, and you will see the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.